You're listening to a special edition of Away with Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Martha Barnett.
And I'm Grant Barrett. Today, we're remembering some of our favorite conversations with some of our youngest listeners and with their parents.
Yeah, we often hear from parents and kids who listen to the show together. Maybe the family's listening in the car while they're out running errands.
Or maybe they're discussing words on the way to or from school. That can lead to some very revealing conversations.
Hello, my name is Matt.
And Simon. We're from Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Simon and Matt, hello. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Well, we had a question. We were walking to school. This is actually a couple of years ago, and we've been waiting to call. We finally did it. So we were walking to school, and we had a question. Simon, do you remember what words we were wondering about?
The difference between barely and nearly.
I was trying to think about it for a minute because they seem similar. But then I used sort of my dad kind of approach was like, well, if you pardon my bluntness, but if you nearly poop your pants, then you almost did, but you're in the clear. If you barely pooped your pants, it seemed like you just a little bit not good, better go change. So that was my dad's approach at translating it and putting it in a very very clearly painted sort of setup for Simon. So we've kind of explored that because they're sort of subtle opposites. But Simon, you had one too, right? What was your thought on it?
Like if you nearly fell off a cliff, you barely hung on. And then if you barely fell off, you nearly hung on.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's true. It's all about those circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might almost think about it as a timeline where there's an event and nearly is before the event and barely is after the event, right?
Right. It seems like it gets, because when we were trying to look at opposites, you couldn't say like, I nearly died versus I barely died.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a completeness. It seems to work only if there were like shades of something in a sense timing-wise, it seems to fit that.
Yeah. So it's more about chronological. It's more about time than it is about them being opposites.
That's so interesting because I think of it in terms of space. I'm thinking visually. Like if I reach my finger out and I nearly tap you on the shoulder, I didn't really tap you on the shoulder, but if I barely tap you on the shoulder, I've crossed a line.
But it's the lightest of touches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, time and space are the keys here, I think.
I love it that Dad immediately went to the bodily functions for the explanation. And the son's got the classy one. He's talking about cliffs and falling. Nice going, Simon. Way to be the adult, kid.
You know, Grant, putting aside the part about pooping in one's pants, Simon really did ask a nuanced question, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Bravely asked it, indeed. Well, we've been talking about how questions from kids often make us stop and think about why we say the things we do. And then there are those funny childhood misunderstandings we still remember.
Joshua Minton left us a voicemail, and he said, I couldn't have been older than 4 or 5 playing baseball with all the older neighborhood kids. They let me have a quote-unquote home run. So all the kids were yelling at me to go home, run home. My house happened to be across the street, so I thought they all wanted me to leave. I literally turned around and ran home instead of running the bases.
I think I've seen that in a movie.
Well, I had something somewhat similar happen to me when I was probably in junior high and I was on the church basketball team and I had warmed the bench during the first half of the game and they put me in the second half and I had forgotten that they changed which goal you're supposed to go to at halftime. And so I stole the ball and I was so proud of myself. I was running and running and I heard people on the sideline saying, go, go, go. And so I kept going to the basket. I made a layup. But of course, what they were saying was, no, no, no.
Oh, no.
Well, at least my team was. I guess the other team was saying go,
you
go,
scored
go.
In the wrong basket. How long did it take to live that one down, I guess? I wonder.
I still haven't.
Nightmare fodder when you can't sleep.
And when I do sleep, I dream about it.
Yeah, when you do sleep.
You know, I could also identify with this story from Sam in Nichols, New York. He wrote to say that he was confused as a kid when he heard the song Home on the Range. You know, it has that line about where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And little Sam wondered why in the world being out on the range made that word seldom discouraging to cowboys, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And I thought the same thing. I could not for the life of me figure out why that particular word, seldom, was such a bummer for cowboys.
That's wonderful. What an odd parsing of that sentence. But I get it, because it's a odd phrasing for a child. It's not.
It is.
It's poetic phrasing or literary phrasing. Well, we want you to use your best phrasing, your best poetry, and we want you to call your public radio station and tell them why they are your favorite. Call right now to show your support for their shows that enlighten and entertain.
It just takes a couple of minutes, but it's an investment that'll pay dividends every single time you tune in.
Make a gift and make a difference today. Call this number right now.